The following podcast is brought to you by The Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Soten, a senior student floating in the cloud of The Village Zendo. It's nice to see all of you. Roshi used to give me jobs to do with the Zendo as a way of making sure I showed up. And she doesn't do that anymore, but when the Dharma Talk schedule comes out, I think, I can see everybody I miss if I sign up for a Dharma Talk, because it's hard for me to interrupt myself otherwise to get here. So it's really my pleasure to see you all. That's my secret motivation. I want to talk today about, I'm sorry, I'm on call at the hospital, so I have to keep my phone on. So I might look down periodically. Case 41, Book of Serenity. Luo Pu about to die, which sounds very dramatic, and kind of is. This is one of those very, very, very long koans. Some koans are very short, and I find those both easier to memorize and easier to locate where I'm supposed to be heading. Although it may take months to get there, at least there's some sense of it. So a monk asked Master Chaochu, does a dog have Buddha nature? Master Chaochu responds, moo. So there are two characters, unless one counts the dog, in which case there are three. And there's a question and there's an answer. And it may take months, years, but at least you know where you are, sort of. But then there are some that are just monumental. And if you're gifted at memorizing text, I think of Cezanne, that's no problem. He can hear a 60-line poem, maybe twice, and probably recite it to us, beautifully, no less. I'm faced with that. I can, you know, if you add music, I have probably 2,000 show tunes in my head. But in the absence of music, a page like this, I find really hard to memorize. So one of the things that manifest says, the name of the teacher in this is Luo Pu. However, I memorized it as Wu Po and only rediscovered that I had memorized it wrong today when I started to draw up my text. So if I go in and out of pronunciation, please forgive me. So what is this long koan? And why would I choose to talk about it if I have such issues with long koans? Because as so often happens, I have fallen in love with this koan, and often it's a weird thing. One falls in love with a koan that often one started hating. Because it seemed so opaque, but now it just seems so rich to me. So, Luo Pu about to die. And I'm going to read it rather than recite it, because who are we kidding? When Luo Pu was about to die, he said to the assembly, I have one thing to ask you people. If this is so, this is adding a head on top of your head. If it is not so, this is cutting off your head seeking life. At that time, the head monk, meaning the Shuso, said, the green mountain is always moving its feet. You don't hang a lamp in broad daylight. To which Luo Pu responded, what time is this to make such a speech? A certain elder, Yan Chang, came forth, and there are hints both in commentaries and I think within the substance of the poem that this was actually, not only was he older, but he was a jisha, an attendant of Luo Pu. A certain elder, Yan Chang, came forth and said, leaving these two paths, I request the teacher not ask. Luo Pu said, not yet. Speak again. Yan Chang said, I don't care if you can say it all or not. And then Yanchang says, and here's, there's a, maybe a translation question. It's translated in the Cleary edition. I have no attendant, I have no jisha to answer the teacher. But another commentary, another translation I read said, being your attendant, it's hard for me to reply, which I'm sure many of us, if not all of us, have experienced a moment like that with one of our teachers, if not all of them. So Yanchang says, I don't care if you can say it all or not. Being your attendant, it's hard for me to reply. The evening, he called Elder Yanchang to come see him. Your answer today was most reasonable. You should experientially realize the saying of my late teacher. Before the eyes, there are no things. That meaning is before the eyes. That is not something before the eyes, not in reach of the ears and eyes. And then that's a quote. And then asks, which phrases are guest? Which phrases are host? If you can pick them out, I'll impart the robe and bowl to you. Yanchang replies, I don't understand. Luo Pu says, you should understand. Yanchang said, I really don't. Luo Pu shouted, ha! And said, how miserable. Fourth character, standing over there by the wall, a monk, asks, what is the teacher's meaning? And Luo Pu says to him, the boat of compassion is not rowed over pure waves. Over precipitous straits, it is wasted effort to set out a wooden goose. Wouldn't you love this to be the koan you're working on? So now we're going to go through it in small pieces. But we'll start with just something easy. What's the image of the wooden goose? The boat of compassion is not rowed over pure waves. Over precipitous straits, it is wasted effort to set out a wooden goose. So the commentary indicates that this is reflecting a story of a community of fisher people who, when they were going fishing and had to navigate whitewater rapids, would take a piece of wood and throw it ahead of the boat and thereby be able to see the path through the rapids. They could see where to go. And so this is, and that was called a wooden goose. Okay, back to the beginning. I have one thing to ask you people, Luo Pu says, as he is about to die. So he's about to die. And he comes in and he says, I have one thing. And he doesn't say to teach you, he says to ask you. If this is so, this is adding a head on top of your head. If it is not so, this is cutting off your head seeking life. So each of these things is its own little koan. Each little bit, each little encounter could easily be a separate koan in a collection. You could knock off six or seven koans in this if your teacher let you. But it's all in there. So what is it? If this is so, this is so, meaning if you state, this is my understanding, my Zen understanding from my Zen practice of non-duality, of the relationship of the absolute and the relative. This is like adding a head on top of your head. Really? You need all these words? It's just extra. The moment you open your mouth to speak about it, people are looking at you because like you're walking through the market with two heads on you. So you don't say anything. You don't express it. Doesn't work either. Then it's cutting off your head while seeking life. You're not alive if you don't have a head. So in response to this question, this is kind of like a Mondo situation. When Luo Pu is about to die. Last Mondo, folks. step up. And who's the first one to step up? Is Kojin here tonight? I shouldn't be mean to him. Shuso! Everyone who's been Shuso knows how horrible that sound is. Shuso! And he jumps up. Now, to be Shuso, you've been a student for a while. You've been studying for a while. Theoretically, your teacher assigning you that position sees you as having some understanding. Sufficient understanding that makes you worthy of being a model to other students. And so the Shuso gets up and says, "The Green Mountain is always moving its feet. You don't hang a lamp in broad daylight." Well, hanging a lamp in broad daylight, that's like adding a head to your head, right? So that's kind of simple. The Green Mountain is always moving its feet. My personal way of approaching that to start, most of you could probably guess, well, in the long view of time, mountains move. Though at the time this was written, people didn't know that mountains moved unless there was an earthquake. But now we know in geological time, things move. We're sitting there. We are not still. We're sitting like a mountain in Zazen, and yet skin cells are shedding off and your foot twitches and things like that. So that could be an opening to explain this. But regardless, Luopu says, "What time is this to make such a speech?" The problem is that he's quoting Luopu back at Luopu. This is actually something Luopu said in another koan. And so at a time like this, what kind of time like this? This is the last chance you're going to have. I'm about to die. And you're handing me something that's perfectly appropriate. It's something I taught you. But is that a living answer? Then maybe there are other students that come up with questions about their personal life or challenge the teacher about basic understandings. But then a certain elder, Yan Chang, comes forth and said, "Leaving these two paths, I request the teacher not to ask." Wopo says, he's engaged. Okay, this guy has something here. "Not yet. Speak again." Yan Chang refines it a little bit. "I don't care if you can say it all or not." That's kind of cheeky. We don't have Wu Pu's response to this. All we have is Yan Chang sort of going, you know, he's a little insecure maybe. "Being your attendant, it's hard for me to reply." And the mando goes on, and we don't know how Luopu responds to this in the moment. Maybe he just bows. There's another koan for you. If you like that one, take it away and chew on it. The evening, he summons his jisha back in. "Your answer today was most reasonable. You should experientially realize the saying of my late teacher, which on this day when Luopu is about to die," this is a statement of lineage, "my teacher to me and now to you, before the eyes there are no things." That meaning is before the eyes. That is not something before the eyes, not in reach of the ears and eyes. This is so long, I'm going to avoid discussing this one. I actually spoke about it with Roshi today, thinking, is the English here a translation problem? She said, the text is what it is in this particular edition. Work with it. Good koan. Take it home if you want. Which phrases are guest and which phrases are host? That's a common thing in Zen koan commentaries, sometimes the koans themselves, like here. If you can pick them out, I'll impart the robe and bowl to you, meaning you have Dharma transmission right here if you want it, if you can do this. What we often mean by guest and host are subject and object. So the host is the subject, perceiving the object, which is the guest. You can also think of these as being related to representing the absolute, the completely subjective. Everything is internal. There is no object outside of one, as opposed to, and that's the host, as opposed to the guest, where you're in the realm of the relative, and there is a host and there is a guest, and the host invites the guest in. That's his challenge. If you can do this, you get Dharma transmission right now. Yanchang says, there are two ways to read this. And you know, I love calling people out. Kansho would do this really amusingly and very dramatically in ways I can't do. So maybe he'll step up to the plate sometime and do it for us. Yanchang, you could read it this way. I don't understand. Wopu, you should understand. I mean, how many years have we been doing this? Yanchang, I really don't. Wopu shouts, ah, how miserable. Which of course, because I'm always afraid that that's how my teachers will talk to me in Dokusan, I'm sort of like, that's my first reading. But in Dokusan, when working with koans, sometimes it just turns into play. And every once in a while you get a koan that plays like that as well. And it just, it's actually kind of funny. So the other way to, another way to read this is, Yanchang, I don't understand. Wupo, you should understand. Yanchang, I really don't. Wupo, ha! And then gives him this moment right near now. Wupo, Wopu, is about to die. Oh, miserable. And this was them playing at being guest and host. Mondo is often get a question or a presentation representing the absolute, respond with one from the relative, or the other way around. And they flip back and forth. This is a profound moment. And it comes because as Jisha, as an elder, they have an intimacy that makes this really simple and easy, and it just flows. There's another set of koans in there for you to unpack. A monk watching this doesn't get what's going on here. This monk has no name, has no position. I'm imagining someone young in his practice or her practice. What is the teacher's meaning? And Luopu said, the boat of compassion is not rowed over pure waves. Over precipitous straits, it is wasted effort to set out a wooden goose. It's to this student, Luopu hands the answer. When you get to koans like this, sometimes the way to deal with a page of nested koans and back and forth and multiple characters and changing situations is all of that, all of it is a demonstration of the thing itself that is the thing about which this koan is talking. Wopu is about to die. The last interactions he has with his students is what we have a record here. And he's not sitting on his bed, moaning, shaking his fist, his work's not done. He's got students who need to progress and he's being taken too early. He's not moaning over pain and agony. He's just doing what he always did. Up in the morning, ask a question. Student gives an answer, challenge them in a way they're ready to receive. Over and over and over again, the only things we see Wopu doing in this whole koan are meeting his students exactly where they are with compassion. The compassion to help them understand the true nature of themselves and the nature of reality, what we sometimes call in Buddhism, wisdom, seeing things and ourselves and the universe, all existence as we are without delusion, without hanging on to the past, without grasping after the future, just what it is. And the natural expression of that wisdom is compassion. So, you know, I'm struck by, it's hard speaking about compassion in this community because of all the various spiritual and work and social communities I've ever been part of, I've never been part of one where the question of how to express compassion has been more vibrantly expressed and passionately expressed by everybody. But what's going on here? Does it matter that Luopu is about to die? That's the title of the koan. So one could look at this at the most simple level of every moment, each of us could die. We've been sitting with this for months. I mean, it was really, 9, 10 months ago, it was really vivid. But for all of us, to some extent, the idea that you could get COVID and you could be one of those people alone in an ICU on a ventilator, and that's how your life ends. In that moment, how would you be? So this has become visceral for all of us in ways it might not have been before this year. But this koan wasn't written for a pandemic in 2021. This is a koan that's relevant whether it's good times or bad times. Uh-oh, a show tune is coming on. Sondheim, of course, I won't go there. So is it really simply about that, recognizing that, oh, you could die any moment? That's such an easy truism. Of course we should all understand that. Do we really have to take an entire koan of this length to bring us to the point of, in every moment, you should be aware that you could die? That's not really the point. It is a point. It's an important point. Luopo's demonstrating. He is manifesting what's important to him in every moment, even up to the moment he dies. But this isn't, and because he's a Zen teacher, the manifestation, the thing he most, what he's devoted his life to is passing his wisdom and his experiences, transmitting it to his students. And so that's what he's doing. What's important to you right now? Is that what you're doing on this day, which could be the day of which you're about to die? So it could be about that. But this isn't for Zen teachers. This isn't the Book of Serenity is not a manual for Zen teachers. It's a manual for Zen students. So to me, it's not about the fact that he's about to die. That's a good demonstration. It's about the nature of compassion. It's sort of like the four children in the Passover Seder. You have the wise one, the wicked one, the simple one, and the one who doesn't even know how to ask any questions. Here we've got three. We've got the wise one, the Shusa. He's being very academic, and he was obviously attentive when the teacher was speaking, and he wants to show this. Yes, I'm a good student of yours. And the teacher meets him right there. Really? I'm about to die, and you're quoting me at myself? Yanchang. There's no wicked child in this story. But Yanchang, it's simple. He's known this teacher for decades, probably. They have played in the Dharma for years. And he comes in to Luopu with his answers, and Luopu knows how to, you know, I'm not satisfied, you can do more, coaxes him back and forth. They play. Maybe this is a Dharma transmission moment, in fact. And then there's, in the Passover, there's the child who doesn't even know how to ask a question, who you just have to leap in and give them the question. Well, here, he knows how to speak and ask a question. What's the teacher's meaning? I have no clue what's going on here. What's the teacher's meaning? And Lu Po says to him, the boat of compassion is not rowed over pure waves. Over precipitous straits, it is wasted effort to set out a wooden goose. This is talking not about the compassion of a teacher for their students. This isn't talking about if this were the last, could this be the last moment in your life and how are you spending it? To me, it really comes down to every single moment, which is completely unlike any moment that came before, which is completely unlike any moment that will come after. In any moment, whether you planned it one way or another, you will encounter sentient beings. And in that moment, with whatever the white water of your daily experience takes you, will you meet that sentient being with compassion? Because our lives are whitewater rafting. And you can't throw a wooden goose out the front and see where it's going to go. And, oh, I'm prepared to talk to that, for example, Trump supporter that I might bump into on the street, or the person at work who's going to knock on my door, or the delivery person who brings something to the house, or the person who answers the telephone when you thought you dialed this number and you dialed that number. Every single one of these moments is that moment where we need to step up and express the fruit of our Zen practice. And the fruit of our Zen practice is wisdom. And our lives are like whitewater rafting, and there is no wooden goose. So it's easy sitting on the cushion. I get very settled and centered sometimes, and something will arise, and I'll just feel equanimous towards whatever that situation is. That's the easy part. The hard part is, could you do this even when you're about to die? Could you do this under the most arduous, distracting circumstances you can imagine? That's what Lu Po is demonstrating and asking, I think, in this koan. Yeah, so I long ago stopped looking at my text. I'll give you my last sentence. Every sentient being that walks by us, drives our Ubers, answers the phone when we call, delivers what we need to our doors. Their emotions and our encounters with them are the white water. How do we row the boat of compassion across them without needing to send a wooden goose on ahead?